Hi everyone and welcome to Take 10 for Torah number 258. So Hanukkah, as we know, is different than all the other holidays, and there's an idea that I'd like to share with you that I shared in my drasha this past Shabbos that I think a few people asked me to repeat. So here it is for those who may have missed it. The idea is as follows. We know Hanukkah is different than the other holidays in that Hanukkah was a threat against Jewish identity, not against Jewish survival. It was the survival of Judaism as opposed to the survival of Jews, right? So if that's the case, then I want to imagine exactly what it was that the Greeks had in mind for the plot, right? It was sort of the final solution to the Jewish question. It was a different Jewish question that had been asked different times in history. It wasn't how to destroy the Jewish people, but it was how to destroy Judaism. So if we take a look in Al-Hanisim, we get a little bit of a clue. It says that the goal was that there was a Malchus Yavan HaRasha, the wicked Greek kingdom, who stood L'Hashkicham Tarasecha L'Ha'aviram, who stood to cause us to forget our Torah and also to have us bypass, to have us ignore our the chukei ritzonecha, the laws of your will, God, the laws of your will. We were forced to ignore. So the question is, what exactly was their plan? What exactly did they try to do? So lahashkicham torasecha seems pretty simple. Stop the learning of Torah. No progress. Lahavira mechukei ritzonecha is a little bit less easy to understand. Doesn't mean that generally, if all of the Torah would stop being learned, then there would not be any mitzvahs performed, maybe. It also might mean that specifically, there are three mitzvahs, and this is how we have it in Megillas Antiochus, that there are three mitzvahs that they particularly targeted, and these three famous mitzvahs were Mila, circumcision, and Shabbos, and finally Rosh Chodesh. Those are the three mitzvahs that they were after. Now, it's not clear why those three. The classic understanding is because those three mitzvahs had what to do with Jewish identity. You can't have Jewish calendar, you can't have Jewish holidays without Rosh Chodesh, you can't have a week without Shabbos, you can't have Jewishly identified babies without Bris Milah. Okay, so that's simply why they were after what they were after. Good. But if you sit and imagine what went on in the inner workings of the plot to get rid of Judaism as we know it. So it probably was a little bit something like this. You know, somebody raised their hand and said, what do? We got to shut the yeshivas. And then somebody said, we got to shut the shuls, the place of ritual observance, the place of ritual education. But then perhaps they had some very wise person in their plotting scheme, and that person suggested that really there's something else that needs to be done. Perhaps that person was aware of the fact that throughout Jewish history, the Jews, when threatened like this, would be able to bring it underground. They would be able to bring their Judaism into the home. And bringing Judaism into the home was no small feat. In the 15th century in Spain, in the 12th century in Spain, when Jews were forced to go underground, they were able to take their Judaism into their home and somehow enable themselves to worship and even to pass to their children their ideas and their beliefs without actually wearing it outside on their sleeves. Now, by no means is that the way things ought to be. Judaism is not supposed to be relegated to the home only, but minimally, it allows for its survival in the home. And so there seems to be a particular emphasis on attacking that basis, or that really base of Judaism. And here's how I think those three associate in that way. These three mitzvot are unique in that these three mitzvot were before. They existed before Matan Torah, before the giving of the Torah. What do I mean? Bris Milah was commanded to Abraham. Shabbos was commanded when the Jews were still in the desert before they got to Sinai. And of course, as we know, Rosh Chodesh was commanded to the Jews when they were still in Egypt. So similarly, you know, we all have our time where our Jewish education begins, but before our Jewish education, there's information we know, there's material that we have, there's practices that we engage in, and all of that is because of our home. You know, the things that we copy, the things that we see. Not that we're monkeys, but, you know, we just experience what we experience. And so these are the mitzvahs that are involved now in a two-pronged attack. One pronged attack that the Greeks have is l'hashkicham torasecha, to have us forget the Torah. That's number one. Now, that's really like to close the schools and the shuls. But there's also l'havira michukim ritzonecha. And it's interesting that these three mitzvahs are referred to as chukim. They're not chukim in the traditional understanding. Chukim in the traditional understanding are mitzvos that we don't understand. We actually pretty much understand these three mitzvos. But each time that these mitzvos are referred to in Tanakh, we have some reference of them as being a chok. when it comes to Rosh Chodesh, it says, Ki chok li Yisrael hu, referring to it as a chok. Shabbos is Ki sham, sam lo chok umishpat. And finally, Mila is Vayamidel Yaakov lechok li Yisrael beris olam. The word chok is used again and again, and I think what the word chok here means is that it's like chuk chakakti, it's ingrained in us. It's not that we do it because it's just the rule, and that's the only rationale we have. It's a different meaning of chok altogether. It means that it is ingrained in us, and the things that we learn, even before school, those are the things that we identify. And this really makes a lot of what the Greeks did make sense, because we have reports, we have ideas that there was a few decrees other than this. One decree we have that the Greeks made Jews sign on the briach betoch beitam, on the keren of the shar, on the big beam or the pillars in their house, or literally on the oxen that would walk around their property, statements about how they were disavowing all of Judaism. You know, that was the messaging that needed to exist within the home. And lest we wanted to go and shut out the outside world and go and make sure that we had the ability within our homes to reinforce the ideas of our faith, there was another decree that's brought in Medrash Chanukah that says, Amdu v'gazru kol ben Yisrael sha'osa lo briach o maskor l'pischo. There was a decree that any Jew who makes a lock, or like a bolt, to close their house, yidkar b'cheref, would be killed by the sword. And this idea, you know, you might have a few different reasons, but I think it's so obvious that the idea is so that the Jews would not have the sanctity of their home. They wouldn't be able to shut that door and do what it was that they needed to do on the inside. That was the goal of this decree, in order to make sure that the Jewish home itself would have the messaging, which was inappropriate, and would also not even be able to be closed. The Medrash tells us, Choshech Zu Yavan. The Choshech refers to the Gullus, the exile of Greece. And it's darkness, you know, you can't see in the darkness when really all you can see is something. It also makes it impossible to see. Yavin made it impossible to see anything else. The Greeks made it impossible to see anything else, even in the confines of our homes. So that's what we find as the threat. That's la hashkicham terasecha, that's la haviram michuki ritzonecha. But then it gets even more interesting, because we have a very interesting halacha. The halacha says that really you're supposed to go and put your menorah on outside, at the opening of the chatzer, to the outside. If you can't do that, then you put it at your window. And then if you put it, what do you do if you can't? B'shas ha-sakana. So the Gemara says, B'shas ha-sakana manicho ashulchano v'dayo. You could put it on your table, and that's enough. V'dayo, a very interesting expression, that's enough. What the Gemara, I think, means is that, yeah, sometimes we'll be able to do things, and we'll be able to wear it on our sleeves, out in public, out in the street. And even if not, sometimes we'll have to bring it into the home, but we'll be able to express it to others, we'll be able to share it at our window. But sometimes, b'shas ha-sakana, when things are very difficult, things are very tough, things will need to be brought into the middle of the house. The windows will be shut tight, the doors will be shut tight, but as long as we are able to do that, we will be able to be successful, vidayo, and it will be sufficient. It's interesting, the Rambam, when he writes his Igeres Hashmad, written to the community in Spain that was dealing with apostasy and forced apostasy, he quotes, he says, Yadua hu kamokein mashakar li Yisrael b'malchus yoban harasha. He quotes this story from the Greeks, Michlalan, and he quotes this idea as well, Shelo yiskar ahadam es pesach besa, that they wouldn't be allowed to close the doors to their homes, kedesh lo yisyached lehesasek b'shem mitzvah. So they wouldn't have the opportunity to be alone to perform any mitzvahs at all. It's no surprise that when we find the victors of Chanukah, it's b'mei Matisyahu ben Yochanan Kohen Gadol, Chashmenoi u'banav. It's them and it's the children. Because to be able to reinforce this in the home, minimally, is what you need to do to be able to survive as Jews. There's so much that we pick up from those who we just watch and forget about, from those who we learn from, that we can't discount that. That perhaps is the greatest secret to Jewish survival, and that is the secret of Chanukah.